Angele Alice's poetry has appeared on a theater marquee and in journals, periodicals, and anthologies. She's the author of Arab on Radar. She was a 2008 recipient of the Creative Artist Fellowship, the Pennsylvania Council of the Artists. And she is, as many of us know, a longtime peace and community activist. And she is the co-author of a really fine book, Diversity Workbook, Dealing with Differences. She was born in Syracuse to a first-generation Lebanese father and Italian mother. She lives in Friendship, and she has a wonderful new chapbook out called Spared. Are they available tonight? Yes, all right. Angele Ellis.
Thank you, Joan and Jimmy and Tim and Justin and Nikki and everyone who's here tonight. What tough acts to follow. There will be a couple of marketing moments in my presentation tonight because I am the granddaughter and grandniece of peddlers, and it just seems only natural. The first poem that I'm going to read is called St. Mary Magdalene by the Sea, and it appears in a new journal has been started by the young poets Dina November and Kayla Sargison, who many of you know, Girls with Glasses. There will be a journal release and party on June the 11th. I brought more flyers for people. Alack and alas, I will not be there because I will be reading at the party for Don Wentworth's Past All Traps. Also that very night, what a wonderful poetry city Pittsburgh is to give us so many choices. But I did want to commend Dina and Kayla for, you know, for it's quite a big thing to start a journal and at any age, and I'm pleased to be represented in it. This poem, although it does not have a formal dedication, the you in the poem is my friend Cheryl, who is now very happy in Edmonton, but at the time did not want me to associate her name with the poem. So for Cheryl, who is happy in Edmonton, St. Mary Magdalene by the Sea. You and I examine the case for celibacy. Come live with me and be my love, your boyfriend says. But you're staggering through your second divorce. And today, his lovely home, his set ways, make you feel like he's smothering you. My boyfriend is too young for me, and the futon in his post-student apartment gives me backaches. I couldn't stand to sleep with him more often, holding in nightmares that my ex is strangling me, terse morning mutters to my lawyer. Let's rent a retreat house on the shore, I say. Call it St. Mary Magdalene by the Sea. We'll preach a gospel in which our patroness warns the risen Christ, don't touch me. You'll do therapy and lead Buddhist meditation. I'll run poetry seminars and book discussions. We'll practice yoga on the eroding beach. On even days, we'll wear white habits. On odd days, we'll sunbathe in the nude. For diversion, we'll have sex with the workmen before bidding them back to their inland lives. At night, we'll rest in calmed beds, listening to the waves whisper and slap like ancient nuns until one final squall smashes our sandcastles for good and all. The next few poems I'm going to read are from my chapbook, Spared, which came out from Main Street Rag in February. Yes, it is on sale tonight, and although poets don't have $29.95, I know that sometimes they do have $10. Even if it's the last $10 in their pockets. You have to help me out tonight because I want Justin's book very badly, so... two things happened to me in the course of writing this book. The first one is that I fell in love, and if you don't know with whom, you'll have to see the dedication. And the second is that I had the great opportunity of spending a month in Costa Rica, courtesy of the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, which gave me a grant, which I used to do so. So the poems that I'm going to be reading, some of them are influenced by that. Others are influenced by old obsessions, like the first one I'm going to read, which is called Coffee, Cigarettes, Gnosis. When I was a girl, I wanted to be a priest, at ease in civvies at my father's table. A special guest, gesturing with cigarette and cup of coffee that would stunt a child's growth. We woke to a hungry, bitter diner smell, my Martha mother's endless pot. Or better, sipping alcohol kept for the priests in a locked cabinet, my squat amber glass sweating as if it too were working hard, deep in discussion. My father baited the young fathers with razor-tongued apostasy until they roared like chained bears. I, Paige without a spear, craved the warring art of argument, to dispute with the men as in chess, a queen with the best moves. Never one of them, I kept their words, as a servant hoards crumbs swept from the tablecloth with a silver knife. In the beginning, there was the word and the love of words. We must name, describe, explain each other as we live. From our babble of emotion, we will translate the lost towers, make our rising voices trace the spirals of a shining bridge. As those of you who are familiar with my first book of poems, Arab on Radar, know my Lebanese heritage and Lebanon sort of obsess me and are a real and dream territory that I have explored in a number of poems. This poem on the Corniche, Beirut, Corniche being a seaside road, came into being because a woman I knew was going back to Lebanon to visit her parents and an old boyfriend. And when she happened to be there, there was an explosion in Beirut. And although this didn't happen, I imagined it. The wind of the explosion, the glass glittering in her hair, the high-heeled sandals in his hand, the road on the edge of the cliff, the full panoramic view, the day of the longed-for reunion, the hour of return from the beach, the moment when love reignited, the wind of the explosion, the glass glittering in her hair, the high-heeled sandals in his hand, the hole in the heart of the afternoon. Here are two love poems, and I think that my accent in Spanish is probably much worse than Justin's Croatian, which sounded pretty darn good to me. This one is called Cerrado, although I really can't roll my R's very well. The computer room is closed, but I wait quietly, less restless than in the years I waited for you. Last night, I dreamt of your touch, there. Heat and mosquitoes have done your work. Welts blooming above my pubis, breasts swollen as if drunk and sated by your mouth. Your body prints mine on the stuccoed wall of desire. No, Cerrado, only opening, coming and coming for you. And this next one is called First Dawn in Costa Rica. My synapse for 8th grade Spanish fires feebly. Pollo, chicken. Agua, water. A key. Here, here. My alarm clock, the craw of the neighbor's rooster. I wash in 5:30 light, lathering the universal mini-cake of white soap, hardly bigger than the host I peeled with reverence from the roof of my innocent mouth, not daring to chew. You miss New Year's Mass, my ambient a key, worrying that the reek of blueberry vodka would offend your grandmother. You could atone by climbing the steps of St. Ladislaus on your knees, but now you are a communicant of flesh, receiving benediction when you kneel over me. As a child, I thought that host and manna were the same, pure sweet marrow of the soul's desire. And now for my final poem, but it has a slightly longer introduction. This is not a poem in the book. This is a poem which just won honorable mention in the Shine Journal Poetry Contest and is available on its website. It's a very nice online journal. This poem is a pantoum, which some of you know is a formal form of verse. It's Malaysian, but the French, who cannot be folded into four quarters, took it up. But there are many contemporary practitioners of the form whom I admire, particularly Marilyn Hacker, whose work inspired me to attempt to write this pantoum, which is an elegy. It's based on a story that I read about a Salvadoran teenager who was attempting to cross the border illegally into the United States, fell behind and was left behind. And there are two coyotes in this poem. There's the real coyote who takes illegal immigrants over the border, often taking all their money and treating them quite brutally. And then there is the coyote who is the spirit of the desert. And just one thing to remember about the pantoum is that it is written in quatrains, four-line stanzas, that the first and third lines of the first stanza are repeated as the second and, the second and fourth lines of the first stanza are repeated as the first and third lines of the second stanza, and so on, until the end of the poem when you end with the first line. So this is Yoseline of the Desert, in memory of Yoseline Hernandez Quinteros, 1994 to 2008. They found her with the things she carried, sandals stretched like tendons without meat, faded backpack blushing at the seam, rough feet swollen like a canyon stream. Sandals stretched like tendons without meat, swept from Salvador into the border dust, rough feet swollen like a canyon stream. Stay here, barked the coyote, prodding the rest. Swept from Salvador into the border dust, she heard a trickle between sizzling waves. Stay here, barked the coyote, prodding the rest. She clung to that one slender breathing thread. She heard a trickle between sizzling waves as frail bones took her down the rocky slide. She clung to that one slender breathing thread and knelt to scoop the desert water free. As frail bones took her down the rocky slide, horizon was her brother moving on. She knelt to scoop the desert water free. The sun still beat, although her heart grew still. Horizon was her brother moving on. Somewhere her mother's voice was calling her. The sun still beat, although her heart grew still, and felt the fierce coyote growling, "Come." Somewhere her mother's voice was calling her, when friends trekked backward to the broken stream. She felt the fierce coyote growling, "Come," eyes shut tight to the dazzle over everything. When friends trekked backward to the broken stream, faded backpack blushing at the seam, eyes shut tight to the dazzle over everything. They found her with the things she carried. Thank you.